Good evening, Green Bay Packers fans. You are listening to the Cheesehead TV postgame show right here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we are wrapping up a Green Bay Packers 25-14 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. The Packers are right now currently the only 5-0 team in the National Football League. Not the only undefeated team. Detroit Lions got to take on division rival NFC North foe Chicago Bears tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. A game that I'm sure lots of football fans will be watching, especially many of our viewers here at Cheesehead TV who are interested in how the division race plays out. But right now we are Packers are 5-0. We're wrapping up a Packers victory 25-14 here on CheeseheadTV.com. And what we're going to do is go over some of the scoring, go through some of the individual statistics, and then open it up to you. Open up the phone lines, talk about what you want to talk about. Talk about the Packers defense stiffening up after a tough first quarter. Packers offense getting into it a little bit late in the game, but getting into it nonetheless. Putting some yards and points on the board. And not a bad special teams effort either, especially from kicker Mason Crosby. But let's recap some of the scoring. The Packers get down early. First score of the game goes to Roddy White. A 5-yard touchdown pass from Matt Ryan puts the Atlanta Falcons up on the board 7-0. Second quarter, Falcons strike next. Michael Turner gets a 1-yard touchdown run. A Matt Bryant extra point makes it 14-0. Atlanta, 14-0. The Packers down at this point. 14-0 coming down from two scores to win the game. We already know the outcome, but the Packers start to chip back. Mid second quarter, Mason Crosby gets a 32-yard field goal and follows that up with 13 seconds left to go before halftime, a 35-yard field goal. That makes it 14-6 halftime score advantage Atlanta. In the third quarter, the Packers are the first to strike, and here we go. Mason Crosby, 56-yard field goal is good. Makes it 14-9 advantage Atlanta. That is a franchise record for the Green Bay Packers. Ties a franchise record. Ties a career long for Mason Crosby as well. And from here on out, all Packers. With 3:53 left in the third quarter, James Jones grabs a 70-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Packers go up for good. Getting the lead 15-14. They go for the two-point conversion. Do not get it, but Packers still up by one. In the fourth quarter, Greg Jennings grabs a 29-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Packers go up 22-14 Atlanta. Game still in a little limbo due to the failed two-point conversion. Packers only up by eight. Still a one-score game. But they ice it in the fourth quarter late with 1:14 left on the clock. Mason Crosby, 30-yard field goal is good. Final score, 25-14, your Green Bay Packers. So the Packers cover the 5.5-point spread as they were the favorites, but the game goes under for me personally. I write the against the spread column at Cheesehead TV every week, so it's of interest to me if nobody else is the gambling degenerates out there. Packers covering the spread, but not the over. But that's all right. The Packers themselves will be happy with the victory and just happy that they're 5-0 early in this point in the 2011 NFL season. Let's go through some of the statistics today. Aaron Rodgers completes 26 of 39 passes for 396 yards, just short of 400 yards passing, for two touchdowns, zero interceptions, has a passer rating of 117.0. He's had a passer rating of over 100 every single game this season. And probably still on pace, I would imagine, for setting the NFL record for passer rating in a single season. In the rushing department, James Starks is the leading rusher today. 12 carries for 40 yards. That's a 3.3-yard per carry average. Ryan Grant has 7 carries for 18 yards. That's a 2.6-yard average. That's 20 carries for 57 yards for the entire team, 2.9-yard average. So just an average day from the running game, but that's okay because the pass game was clicking. In the passing department or the receiving department, James Jones is the leading receiver on the afternoon, 5 catches for 140 yards, grabs a touchdown. He is the leading receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Greg Jennings also getting into the act, 4 catches for 82 yards, also has the touchdown late in the game. JerMichael Finley, 4 grabs for 67 yards. Of course, a couple drops, and that's what JerMichael Finley might be remembered most for this game, perhaps. Randall Cobb, 2 for 26. James Starks, 2 for 19. Jordy Nelson, 3 for 17. Tom Crabtree, 1 for 15. DJ Williams, first catch of his career, 1 for 7. Ryan Grant, 1 for 6. John Kuhn, 1 for 6. Alex Green, first catch of his career, 1 for 6. Donald Driver, 1 for 5. So what was that? 12 players caught passes for the Green Bay Packers. I think we figured it out earlier. Only Ryan Taylor, tight end, who didn't play on offense, but he was the only skill position player on the team to be held without a catch today. And with that, let's open the phone lines up. If you want to talk about the Green Bay Packers, phone lines are open. Area code 646-797-2909. The Packers, you know, what can you say? 5-0. I mean, that's what counts here. You know, kind of taking the whole game into effect here. Packers, obviously, getting down early. Down 14-0. Defense is just getting run over, trod over. Not necessarily Michael Turner making them look real bad by any means. Just unstoppable offense by the Atlanta Falcons through the first quarter. They go and march down and long methodical drives. Matt Ryan looking effective early on. And the Packers defense looking poor. Charles Woodson not looking good. Charlie Pepper not looking good. Very little pass rush early in the game. But things change. Things change, you know. Defense gets stiff later on. Offense turns it around. It's a different game. Let's take our first phone call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame.
Please turn down your radio, your computer.
Catherine?
You are on.
It's Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. How you doing today? You're on Cheesehead TV.
Hey. Can somebody please talk to me about the officiating tonight? Did you think it was just really horrendous, or am I just looking at from the viewpoint of a Packer fan that's lifelong?
Jeff Triplett, the head referee today, he certainly got a lot of abuse, I noticed, from Packer fans reading the internet. You know, I hard for me to say. I mean, you know.
Well, I thought it was horrendous. I really thought, I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the guy calls for a fair catch. Yeah, okay, maybe they were, you know, within a few yards. But, and then for us to get another 15-yard catch, I mean, it's like, what the hell is going on here? I just really think somebody should, I don't know.
I tell you what,
I just thought it was ridiculous.
That fair catch call was very confusing. I saw nothing wrong with the catch itself. Randall Cobb looked like he did nothing wrong. He called for it in plenty of time. There's nothing wrong there. And then they make some sort of reference to somebody coming on the field, and I'm still confused. And I think most people are.
Yeah, he came on the field. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought the officiating was horrendous, and I'm just really glad we pulled out a W. It was ugly, but a win's a win.
Yes. Catherine, thank you much for calling in. And by all means,
okay,
anytime.
Thank you.
Take care.
I read you on Twitter every day. You're
oh,
awesome.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye.
So the officiating, yeah, Jeff Triplett getting a lot of abuse from Packers fans on the internet, on Twitter. In fact, our own, very own Corey Behnke here was just railing on him, something fierce. You know that fair catch was baffling. I'm not sure exactly what was going on there. And you know, there, you know, every game has controversial calls. You know, I suppose you could say the Packers did get a favor there by the incomplete pass there on the sideline. The ball goes to the ground. You know, it appears as if the catch is made. Mike McCarthy challenges it. Packers, they rule it incomplete, and it forces a fourth down. So, Catherine, everybody loves you on the live blog here. Yeah. Using some salty language and getting after the officials. You want to do that anytime on Cheese at TV. The fans love it, so call back in next week for sure. You know, how about Wisconsin sports in general? You know, last week it seemed to be the perfect confluence of you know, the Packers winning, the Brewers winning, and the Badgers winning, and it just keeps going on this weekend. The Brewers ice the NLDS on Friday night, and then today on Sunday win the first game of the NLCS. The Packers win. The Badgers didn't play, but you know, once again, it's just fantastic to be from the state of Wisconsin right now, isn't it? I suppose if you want to tie in the Badgers here, they did move up in what was it, the was it the coaches poll or the Associated Press poll? One of the two, maybe both for all I know. So they actually moved up just by even by being off, I suppose. Other teams less impressive perhaps, but you know, there you go. Mark pointing on the Badger hockey wins. So there you go. Perfect in the state of Wisconsin. Fans are happy here, and next weekend, throwback weekend in Green Bay, the Packers. Next Saturday night, we're having a tweet up at the Abbey Bar, technically in De Pere, isn't it? But anyway, and then next Sunday, before the Rams game, tailgate at the Green Bay Distillery, right next to Lambeau Field, right behind Ray Nitschke Field, the practice field. So make sure, if you are in town, come on over next week. We're going to have a good old time. CheeseheadTV.com, PocketDoppler.com, teaming up with First String PR to provide you a fantastic Packers experience next weekend. And yeah, just isn't it great too that just happens to be the St. Louis teams that, you know, the Wisconsin teams are playing? Packers playing the Rams a week from now. And then on top of that, the Brewers taking on St. Louis Cardinals in the NLCS for the right to go to the World Series. It's just a perfect time to be from the state of Wisconsin right now and be a Wisconsin sports fan. So we're excited for that here at Cheesehead TV. But anyway, getting back to the game here, let's talk about this. So, you know, we said it before, the first quarter, you know, it was kind of like a little bit like the Carolina game. You know, Carolina jumps out to an early lead on the Packers. But, I mean, that's all it was. You know, one quarter, the Packers won the last three in that game. Pretty much, I think you could say the Packers won the final three quarters of this game against another NFC South foe. And how big is that, too, that all these wins are coming against NFC teams here for the Packers? I mean, obviously, the Broncos one wasn't. But, I mean, they got a win against a division foe in Chicago already. And they got wins against three NFC South teams and just NFC teams in general. The Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons. I mean, that's just setting up for, you know, good things for the Packers when it comes to the playoffs. You know, things like home field advantage and getting a home game, even if they don't have home field advantage. Although it's, You know, it's looking like a fairly likely scenario that they're going to be in that discussion by the end of the year. And I think that's really a goal of this team this year, the Packers. You know, last year they didn't win the NFC North, so they're going to want to do that. And beyond that, they didn't get a home playoff game last year. So they're going to want to do that. They're not going to want just one home playoff game either. They're going to want two. They're going to want to host the NFC Championship game if it comes down to that. So, I mean, those are things that are really motivating this Packers team this year. You know, to get things like that. Things that they didn't accomplish last year. You know, it's things like that for a team that could be complacent coming off a Super Bowl victory. But, it's things like that that'll keep them going. You know, keep them want to continue to, keep striving, not get complacent. Anyhow, how about James Jones today? Got to give him some props. You know, as the maligned guy in the receiving corps who, after week one, kind of complained he wasn't getting enough playing time, has a good game this week. And you can really contrast his performance with JerMichael Finley. Kind of almost going in opposite directions, aren't they? Seems like a little bit. So James Jones gets, you know, one pass in week one, one target. Complains a little bit. You know, it's been progressively getting a little bit better for James Jones. He's got a little more action since week one, but this was the first time where he's really involved heavily with the offense, and obviously, you know, gets the long touchdown today, which, you know, makes up for everything, seemingly. And, 70-yard touchdown pass. And you know, good game. Good game by James Jones all around. I mean, he might have had a blue-chip performance today. And then on top of that, you know, I said, let's contrast him with JerMichael Finley. JerMichael Finley having a case of the drops today. Has one in the end zone late in the first half. Packers had to settle for a field goal instead. And then catch drops, you know, it's almost caught a pass late in the game on the third down. Would have converted a first. You know, he got hit hard by a Falcons defender, but ball still dribbles out. Finley drops it, second drop of the game. And, the thing is, before this game, you know, JerMichael Finley talking to the press a little bit about, you know, being involved more in the game, things like that, you know, trying to get more passes targeted, you know, coming off the Broncos game in which they paid extra attention to JerMichael Finley with safety help over the top. You know, they really tried to take JerMichael Finley out of the game, but, you know, by all means, it opened up things for other receivers last week, including Jordy Nelson. Well, this week, you know, they do try to get Finley involved, two crucial drops, and, you know, it could come back to bite him a little bit. That's, you know, again, he's running at the mouth. Nothing too huge, but again, you know, running at the mouth a little bit, as JerMichael Finley is prone to do, known to do. And here he is dropping passes. But he did have some big passes as well, big catches. You know, he had four catches on the day, 60-some yards. He helped this team get the win. And while we're on the topic of offense here, offensive line play. Chad Clifton goes out early in the first quarter. Maybe it wasn't early, mid, late. I don't know, sometime in the first quarter, right? And interesting, just, you know, right away, first thing is, I remember head coach Mike McCarthy saying, week at the Broncos week, if Chad Clifton gets hurt, Derek Sherrod's going to play left tackle. This is coming from the mouth of the head coach. I thought, okay, Derek Sherrod's going to play left tackle. seeing as, you know, that's, you know, Marshall Newhouse is getting all the practice reps at right tackle, so he's probably best prepared for that position. Well, that, you know, changed right away. They put Marshall Newhouse at left tackle and insert Derek Sherrod, you know, their only option at right tackle. And he's one of only two backup offensive linemen on the team, Evan Dietrich Smith being the other, but he's an interior offensive lineman. And, but those guys played well. You know, both of them, generally. I mean, certainly, it's going to be a learning experience, but, you know, I would say both of those young tackles held up fairly well. You know, they gave up sacks. Perhaps might have been the worst by TJ Lang. What was it, like the first play or two of the second half, giving it up an ugly sack. Penalty on top of that. But, I think Derek Sherrod, for the first extended playing time of his career, did well. You know, not the first time he played. He played a little bit last week. I'm sure that was probably nice for him just to, you know, get the first, playing time of his career against the Broncos, just to maybe get some of those nerves out of the way. Not his first appearance ever. But coming in and, you know, doing all right, holding his own. I suppose now you got to be worried a little bit about Chad Clifton. You know, how bad is his injury? Said to be a hamstring. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, it just depends how bad of a hamstring pull he had. Mark on the live blog asked, when is Bulaga coming back? Kind of up in the air. You know, they're taking it slow. Brian Bulaga says he's ready to play. At least that's what we hear from head coach Mike McCarthy. You got to think that, he's getting close. Could be any time that he's ready to come back. Use him. I mean, even though Derek Sherrod and Marshall Newhouse played well, I'm sure they'd be happy to have the services of Brian Bulaga back. And, you know, that'll give him some, you know, versatility, I guess, in that if anything ever happens again, you feel good with putting Derek Sherrod in the game. But kudos to those guys for holding up in the face of adversity. I'm sure Marshall Newhouse didn't get a lot of practice time at left tackle. I'm sure, but on the same token, Derek Sherrod didn't get a ton of time at right tackle during the week at practice. So kudos to them for coming in and doing pretty good. Holding their own, we'll say. If you want to call into the show, by all means, area code 646-797-2909, 646-797-2909. You know what? I would have to think that, I shouldn't say that you have to. But it was in the back of my mind with when Chad Clifton went down, you know, whether, is Mark Tauscher a candidate now for the Packers to sign? I say then in a whisper, Mark Tauscher. And that would only be the case if, you know, Chad Clifton has a serious injury, you know, perhaps maybe a season ender. And I don't want to speculate that it is yet. By any means, I'm just saying that if it was, you know, maybe you get a veteran to replace him, a guy who knows the system and can, you know, just knows what he's doing. And again, speculation on my part, you know, I'm just throwing it out there, seeing what sticks. Question on the live blog here, again, from Mark, would they move Bulaga to left tackle if Cliffy can't go? Good question. You know, they did that a little bit last year. Brian Bulaga played a little tiny bit of left tackle. You know, it's hard to say. You know, Marshall Newhouse played left tackle today. Looked all right. He's going to continue to get better the more he plays there, the more he practices there. All those reps will add up. He'll learn. They'll get more film. Learn from that. You know, if I had to guess, it seems to me that they would want Bulaga at right tackle, at least this year. You know, maybe in the future they'd move him. Well, that's a good question. The more I think about it, but I think it would really depend on the severity of Chad Clifton's injury. I mean, just, again, hypothetically, let's say right now they know Chad Clifton, done for the year. He's done. Injured reserve. He's not coming back. Well, maybe they do move Brian Bulaga there, knowing that, you know, he could be there for the rest of his career. I don't know. If it's just a short-term thing, Chad Clifton will be back next week, or he'll be back in a week or two after the bye, something like that. Maybe they're inclined to keep Bulaga at right tackle, just because they know Chad Clifton will come back eventually. And they don't want to upset the apple cart too much. They want people to get comfortable at a position. All sorts of things to ponder here. Not exactly sure where I'm going with all these ideas, but anyhow. Taking a look at some of the defensive stats from tonight. Charlie Pepper is your leading tackler with 8 tackles. And just while we're on the topic of Charlie Pepper, nice job with the interception late in the game to pretty much ice the victory. When did Wayne's dagger come out? Did it come out with Charlie Pepper's interception, or was it with the Mason Crosby field goal at the end? You could make the argument for both, I suppose. Desmond Bishop, your second leading tackler, with 7 tackles on the evening, and the only player to come away with the sack in this game. Once again, the pass rush. Yeah, I don't know what to make of the pass rush for the Packers. He the only person to get a sack was Desmond Bishop. It was a nice sack on a blitz. But they did get 7 quarterback hits on the night. 3 of them coming from Eric Walden. Of course, 1 by Desmond Bishop on the sack. 2 by Clay Matthews. And 1 by Jared Bush there near the end. Boy, Jared Bush coming up with the interception as well. He really wanted to take that to the house, didn't he? He just really wanted that touchdown at the end. Had a chance, too. Tried as well as he could. But, I give the Packers defense credit. They stiffened up late in the game. Sam Shields may have had his best game of the year. Sam Shields may have had his best game of the year. Not of his career. I will say maybe he had better games last year. But, boy, they did a pretty good job shutting down the Falcons' wide receivers, Roddy White, Julio Jones. They didn't do, tons of damage. In fact, Tony Gonzalez was their leading receiver on the night. So 6 catches for 60 yards. You know, a lot of times they had safeties on him. I know Charlie Pepper was matched up on him a couple times. Roddy White had 6 catches as well, including that touchdown. But, I thought the corners played well. You didn't hear a whole lot of Tremont Williams, but, it's one of those things where, if you don't hear about him, sometimes that's a good thing. I see the dagger was on the field goal from Mason Crosby. But fantastic, a good win here by the Packers, to go into a road environment against a playoff team from last year. The team with the best record in the NFC last year had home field advantage, even though they couldn't take advantage of it, if you will. And, you know, it's just go nice for them to go into a road environment like that against a decent team. Maybe not the best team this year in the NFC, although there's a lot of year left to play here, I suppose. But you know, it's coming together for the Packers. It really seems, you know, perhaps they turned a corner in this game with that defense. Do you think they did? Think they turned a corner? You know, the offense wasn't, it was a little bit different today. You know, we've been railing on the defense so much and the offense has been so prolific. Well, you know, the defense looked bad for a quarter today, but after that they look really good. And it's the offense that couldn't really get going fully today. So a little bit of the opposite. I mean, both played very well in spurts. Comment from Brandon Lee. How about DJ Williams chipping the defensive end leveled to the ground? Yeah, DJ Williams gave up a sack today. You know, it looked as if he was responsible for the outside pass rusher. If I'm correct, a blitzing linebacker. I forget who it was. Was it Witherspoon? I forget who it was exactly from the Falcons. But, you know, didn't pick up. Looked inside. Looked for the inside rush. Should have went outside. Offensive lineman's got the most interior pass rusher. So it looked as if DJ Williams was, you know, responsible for that. But again, I mean, this today was DJ Williams' first extended action on offense today. Appeared as if he was getting to see some action with Andrew Corliss being inactive today. He being injured all week pretty much, and so, I mean, DJ Williams' first extended action, you know, can't expect a ton from him. It chipped in a little bit there in the receiving game, got his first career catch. And, you know, here you saw a lot from the rookies for the first time today. DJ Williams getting his first extended action on offense. Alex Green getting his first snap on offense. Both these guys had played before, but pretty much, you know that it's been on special teams. And all of a sudden, they're starting to play their positions a little bit. Derek Sherrod obviously forced into the game. So this is the most, you know, contribution you've seen from this year's rookie class all year long. You know, Randall Cobb's kind of been doing the same thing all year long. A little bit disappointing that Devon House hasn't done a whole lot this year. And the other guys are what they are. DJ Smith, the inside linebacker, he's a special teams guy. He's not going to play on defense unless there's an injury or a huge blowout or something like that. Ryan Taylor, the tight end, you know, he plays a big role on special teams. You know, it's probably, you're not going to see too much of him on offense. But, you know, the rookies here starting to play a little bit, coming around. And that's just fantastic that they're getting that experience. They'll keep getting better. Thank you, folks, so much for tuning in to the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Probably going to wrap it up here, being a late night, past 11 p.m. here, Central Time, Lambeau time. Got to get up early in the morning, because if you want to keep talking Packers, head back here to Cheesehead TV, 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'll be back on air recapping the Packers' victory some more. But not going to have Tom Crabtree on the show tomorrow morning. Was told Tom Crabtree and all the Green Bay Packers going to be getting home back in Green Bay about 5 a.m. Yeah, we're going to let Tom sleep a little bit tomorrow, right? They deserve it. Hard-earned victory. We'll let Tom sleep in a little bit. But we'll make sure to get him on Railbird Central once again, as we do almost all the time, weekly, our weekly interview with tight end Tom Crabtree. But anyhow, folks, thanks so much for joining us, not just for the post-game show here, but all day long with our live blog at Cheesehead TV. So Thanks for joining us. Railbird Central tomorrow morning. Stay tuned for more coverage throughout the week. Don't forget about Throwback Weekend next weekend in Green Bay. That Cheesehead TV, Pocket Doppler, First String PR, all following along. So, folks, enjoy the Packers' victory. Enjoy another successful Wisconsin sports weekend. Keep reveling in the glory, and we will see you later. Go Pack, go, everyone.